Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word, we're going to go take the fifth chapter of John, pick it up in about the 25th verse. Christ is beginning to open up the ministry in a sense, and he's just told them that our Father has placed the judgment in my hands. This is what, and I'm not going to say anything to you that the Father wouldn't say or hasn't said or told me to say. And therefore, if you receive the truth, you'll receive me. Now, a lot of people had trouble with that because they were trying to say, well, he's claiming to be the Son of God, and they were calling him a blasphemer. Some of them even wanted to kill him, and naturally that's where the seed of Cain begins to work in. Claimed to be of our brother Judah, and they certainly were not. So having said that, that kind of sets the stage for the remainder of this chapter. Let's pick it up, if we may. Chapter 5, verse 25, word of wisdom from our Father, and it reads, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." God is not the God of dead, but of life. Therefore, what is he talking about here? Well, you can read of it in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. When he was in the tomb, he went all the way back to Noah's time. Well, why did he do that? To give them the opportunity to accept Christ as Savior. They had not had that opportunity if they died before Christ's death on the cross. This opened up, and those that were spiritually dead, he taught the message to them. And if you read on in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, it'll tell you that a lot of the captives were freed. Why? Because they believed, just like you do. Our Father does not play favorites with his children from Adam all the way to the end. He loves all of his children if they are obedient. 26. "For as the Father hath life in himself," listen carefully, "so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." Verse 27. "And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." And the Son of Man means the Son of God, but man meaning in the flesh. The Word became flesh and walked among us. Isaiah 7:14, "A virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you will call him Emmanuel," which is to say God with us. This authority to execute judgment came to him, and it was real. Verse 28, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice." And so it is that they would hear. You know, most of the time when graves are mentioned in the Hebrew manuscript, su'al, or even in the New Testament, hell is usually in the manuscripts, Gehenna, which means the Valley of Hinnom, the garbage pit outside of Jerusalem. But actually it's always grave. Okay, it means a grave. And if you're spiritually dead, you're as good as in the grave. But he has the power and the authority to speak and teach. As I said, you want to make sure that you make a note of 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, where he went all the way back to Noah. Those people were dead, though they were living with God in paradise, one side of the gulf or the other. 29, "And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life," eternal life, "and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." I really cannot accept this translation, because the word damnation is the same word used as judgment prior. So let's read it like the manuscripts actually say. And shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. In other words, we've got a millennium of time in between the resurrection, even if we who are alive and remain, and the great white throne judgment, when judgment takes place. So they're going to have an opportunity to know truth. It's not a second chance. A lot of people, with what is being taught, they don't have a chance. Verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. It's totally fair. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. You know, you're going to have a lot of people in your lifetime. Sometimes preachers will tell you, don't ever say to God if it's His will, demand that He hear you. That's bad information. Because if you truly love God, if it's not of His will, you don't want it anyway. Did you hear what I said? If you truly love the Father, you want to be in His good will, and if it displeases Him, He knows what's best for you, and sometimes you don't. Therefore, you want to always pray to the Father if it be His will. This is even Christ Himself saying, I leave it to the will of the Father. And this being a part of that triune Godhead. 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. If all I had to do was to, as a man, the Son of Man, stand here before you and claim, but what kind of witnesses had He presented? Miracles. Turning water to wine. And healing the sick, the lame, the halt. And taking up their bed and walking, one that's paralyzed. Verse 32. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. He's talking here about John the Baptist, who was the forerunner. Prophesied long ago in Isaiah chapter 40 that there would be a voice crying from the wilderness to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, plural. Verse 33. He sent unto John, that's John the Baptist, and he bare witness unto the truth. I mean, he was baptizing people, accepting it. He had God's hand upon him. 34. But I receive not testimony from man. But these things I say that you might be saved. That was his title. Jesus was Yahweh's Savior. Meaning, if you believed upon Him, you could be saved into eternal life and never deceived by the false one. Verse 35, He was a burning and a shining light. And you were willing for a season to rejoice in His light. John brought it forward. He taught, He preached. I mean, Jesus would even say in one place, what did you go out there to hear? A reed shaken in the wind? That is some man that'll talk this way 5 minutes and another way. No, straight on. I mean, straight on from God, he talked. No ifs, ands, or maybes. Verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish. Understand that word. Finish means I'm going to complete it. The same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. That's the miracles. Resurrection of the dead. Who can do that? You can't. But our Heavenly Father can. The Holy Spirit can. That's the witness and that's the proof. The supernatural power of our Heavenly Father, which is super love, because He does love His children. Verse 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. I mean, but he sent a witness. Well, how did he? Well, Psalms 22, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, 1,000 years before the fact. And again, I'll repeat the one I just mentioned in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. A virgin's going to conceive, which she did, her name being Mary, and brought forth a male child, and you shall call him Emmanuel, being translated, God with us. And so it was. So God witnessed, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And even let doves descend from heaven, symbolic of the Holy Spirit, upon him. Verse 38. And you have not this word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him you believe not. And so it is. You just, you don't believe me. You see, there was these ones in the back, you'll remember in the beginning of this fifth chapter, they wanted to kill him. A nice religious community, huh? They really wanted to kill him and did not have that opportunity. Way back in the 18th verse of this same chapter, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had spoken broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his father, making him equal with God. And they wanted to kill him. Continuing on then, verse 39, listen carefully. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. What even back to Moses' time, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, what does it say? God said, I will raise a prophet like you, that means in the flesh, and he would be the Messiah. It was written long, long ago. Verse 40, and you will not come to me that you might have life. You won't do it. 41, I receive not honor from men. Verse 42, listen carefully. But I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. Oh, that's pretty strong talk. But who is he talking here to? Let's go on over to the 8th chapter. You're not going to have it, but you can turn there and read it. We're going to pick it up with verse 42. Who is he talking here that knows him not? And he's already told them in verse 32, if you'd learned the truth, it had set you free. Verse 42 reads, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. It's impossible. Why couldn't they hear his word? 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now, how sharp are you? Who was the first murderer? Cain was. So we're talking to Kenites here. Absolutely the offspring of the serpent. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's why you want to make sure you never get over in that camp. You want to stay straight on with the witness of the living God. 45, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? They couldn't. He was innocent. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? And then he answers 47, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." So this is who he's talking to. Now, do you understand what the true beauty of this is? We're hearing here from the Savior. He always speaks the truth. It's very blunt sometimes, and it's direct. But even the tares of Mark 13, which that's who this is talking about, the Kenites, if they leave their father, the devil, and begin to love Almighty God, for he created their souls. If they will love him, then they automatically become children of God, not of the devil. So even the Kenites can attain salvation through Messiah. That was his duties as he was sent here, and he will, not maybe, not perhaps, he will finish it. So then returning to this fifth chapter of John, now you know who he has identified, and we'll get to that eighth chapter soon. You'll learn more about it. Verse 43 in chapter 5. "I am come in my Father's name." That's Jesus, is Yeshua, Yahweh's Savior. "And you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive." That's the Antichrist, or instead of Christ. You're all geared, locked, and loaded, and ready to accept him. The liar of all liars, your own father, basically. You'll listen to him, but you won't hear me. Well, he answered that in the eighth chapter. Verse 44, "How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" You have to want that. 45, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust." Even Moses wrote of him. Moses wrote of him in, as I quoted earlier, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. God touched Moses' heart. And Moses stated very clearly, God's going to raise a prophet up among our own kin, flesh, and he would be Messiah. That was promised. And Moses always came forth after receiving the very law itself on the mount that he believed. 46, "For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me." And again, Deuteronomy 18:15. To complete, 47, "But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" If you don't believe the words of Christ, if you don't believe the writings of the Old Testament that look forward to the coming, I mean, this was God's plan of salvation. This was God's plan to give life to the world that would believe. And certainly he was refused by the Kenite, and he pretty well explained that. Satan's plan has been to destroy the man-child, that is to say, Savior, coming out the gate. That's why he had the fallen angels to come down and mess with the daughters of Adam, whereby this seed, the seed called Messiah, could not come forth. And God had to destroy the earth at that time with Noah's flood. And there was only one pure family left that had a perfect generation. That means pedigree. And I'm quoting from Genesis chapter 6. And that was Noah's family. They hadn't intermixed with the fallen angels. And through that seed came this Messiah, umbilical cord to umbilical cord. Chapter 6 and verse 1. "After these things, Jesus went over the sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, which is just Genesaret by most. It's called the Garden of the Prince. A lot of things happened here. You might make a note of it. Verse 2, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. He saw those miracles of the healing. They'd never seen anything like this before. They were praising God for having done it. How precious it was that they had this one. If you just simply believed in him and he touched, you were healed. It's a miracle. And only someone from God could accomplish that. So there are many that are following and believing. Verse 3. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. They kind of pulled off to the side there a minute, in a higher level where he could overlook and be heard. 4. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, or of Israel, was nigh. And it was coming close. And naturally, to make a long story short, as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, Christ became our Passover. Why? Because he's the bread of life. He is the Passover bread. And that's what we're about to feed the people here. It's a great miracle. And it is done by none other than he that became our Passover, or the highest holy day in Christianity. Verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and he saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Bear in mind, there Philip knew this area, but that's not the point he wishes to make. Verse 6. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. He knew beforehand. 7. And Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. That $40 would not buy enough bread for each one of these to have a little part. $40 at this time was immense. Verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, 9, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? What good would that do? Now, the lad, of course, is symbolic of God's children. The 5 barley loaves, 5 is grace. Do you know what barley loaves were? That's poor man's bread. Barley ripens in the spring before wheat does. And it doesn't make as good a bread as wheat does. So it's called a poor man's bread. But the number 5 is grace, and you don't want to look over that. And 2 fish, that's the, anytime you have the fish, it's symbolic of the Father and the Son. And this is why that the very word fish in the Greek tongue, the cipher, stands for Christianity. It is iota chi theta Upsilon and Psi, Savior, which is being translated Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. That's what the word fish, that's the reason it all is always comes forth, and why it is symbolic of Christianity. So the signs are all there. And let's see what happens. Verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers about 5,000. Christ won't deal with a mob. If you're going to break bread, you're going to do it in order. You make them sit down, and he would have them parceled out. And the point I want you to note here, many people said, well, Jesus fed all these people. No, he didn't. Jesus is not going to feed these people. He's going to provide the material, and the disciples are going to feed the children. This means even today, you, as a child of God and one that knows truth, Christ is not going to feed them right now. You've got to do the feeding. And then naturally you do it in his name, knowing he provided the bread and he provided the meat. But it is your duty to see that you share that to some hungry person. But let it be done in order. Not a mob, not hollowing, not arguing, but with the countenance of the Holy Spirit present, let the feeding then begin. So, and here you have the very title within this, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. Verse 10, and Jesus said, we got that one, okay? There was 5,000 here. Get that. And if you have 5,000 men, if their families are with them, think how many that is, considering only four to the family. Verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, always do that. Thank the Father for it. It's poor man's bread. Thank the Father for it. He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fish, as many as they would. Now again, I want you to not read over that. Christ did not feed the people. He passed it off to the disciples. And the disciples gave it to them that were set down. Hey, what if somebody wasn't set down? They didn't get fed. You have to do it by Christ's rules, in order, with love, and certainly it lets you know that God furnishes through the Son the truth. He was the Word that became flesh and walked among us. We are to take that Word and let it spring to life, come alive, and teach it in that way, so that somebody can, so all people that have ears to hear can understand the beauty and the miracles that God produced through the Son, always in order and always by the hand of God. Verse 12, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now, there will be an interesting thing happen in this, because the lesson he will teach them, and he's teaching a lesson within this, and I'll say a word or two on it. Anytime you have a large group of people together, and you pick up fragments of what is said here, there, yon, and everywhere, you got a mess. And he would tell them, like in Matthew 16, I didn't warn you about not having bread because you didn't bring the fragments. I was warning you to be careful of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's false doctrine that you want to be very careful of. You gather it, assemble it, and cast out what doesn't belong. You only teach what he gives you to be taught to the children. That way you have the blessings of God upon it, and it will always be successful. So beware when you have a large meeting or gathering. Beware of the fragments of the ratchet jaws in the background. They fancy themselves to be somewhat. Verse 13. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. What does this mean? It means that you should always share the word. He doesn't give anything personal to you unless he makes it very specific that it is personal as duties. But when they fed this multitude, there was still one basket left over for each tribe of Israel. The message being, when you are dealing with God's word, there's enough for everybody. There is enough truth, enough wisdom, enough salvation, enough love for everyone in the world, every soul God ever created, if they believe and if they follow. From the word, however many you feed, there's always enough left over. You don't have to worry about it. God is not a respecter of persons. And when you serve him, he will bless you. 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come unto the world." In other words, from Deuteronomy 18 and Genesis 49. This is him. No doubt. 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. In other words, he did not tolerate the fact that they would make him something that he was not. He was the savior of the world. He was not a king. Never pretended to be a king, except to be king of Israel when Israel came into its being. King of kings and Lord of lords. Wasn't time. But how precious it is to have the word steep into your life and mold you. To have the truth guide you and lift you. That's what God's word does. There's always plenty to go around. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
Second book of Moses, called Exodus. This fantastic book of the law witnesses God keeping his promise to Abraham that he would deliver Israel out of the Egyptian captivity. The type established by God delivering his children out of bondage in Egypt is readily seen as the way out of the confusion of this world for Christians today. That is to say, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Hebrew word Exodus means in the names. In Exodus, we also learn the names or seed lines through which Jesus Christ would be born in the flesh. Exodus, as taught by Pastor Arnold Murray, is available on audio cassette tape or VHS tape. The 13 audio cassette tape set is our item 126, and the suggested donation is $52. Or if you prefer the 11 VHS tape set, it is our item 671.13, and the suggested donation is $275. Partial tape set orders are welcome.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We're not going to judge people. You know, we have a judge. He's on the job full time, and night and day. So there leaves no room for you to become a judge at this time. So we let him do the judging. Don't ask us to judge. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. It's always a pleasure hearing from you. Now, got a prayer request? You do not need the number and you don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. He does. And he loves you for that. That's why he can be such a perfect judge. He even knows what you're thinking. So let him know that you love him and ask his blessings on yourself, your family, and your friends, because he hears you when you're honest with him and you always ask in his will. Let's go to his throne. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, what does Yahweh Jireh mean? Let me correct, you have it spelled a little wrong here. It's Yahweh Jireh, which means Yah provides, or Yah gets it done. It is in the Hebrew dictionary, the word 3070. That's pretty easy to remember, isn't it? I mean, that's the Lord of blessings. It's one number that you want to remember. Yahweh Jireh, God that gets it done. God that provides for those that serve Him. That's what it means. John from California. Concerning the fallen angels, my understanding is that the preaching from the chapel is that we come from the fallen angels. False. That is not true. I don't know how you could possibly. In other words, we are the fallen angels and then reborn to save our souls. No, the fallen angels cannot be reborn. They're locked away in chains, as Jude so aptly reports. Why? Because they left their place of habitation. You see, they were in spiritual bodies and they knew better. They knew what the penalty was. And they knew they sealed their faith. So the fallen angels, there's only 7,000 of them. And they are locked in chains, as the great book of Jude so declares. And that's why it is written in Revelation chapter 11 that when the two witnesses rise from the streets of Jerusalem, 7,000 that Satan brings with him are going to die instantly. And it means a spiritual, physical soul death. They're gone. Ban from Maryland. Pastor, when we die and leave these flesh bodies, do we have to have a funeral? Well, it's usually customary not for yourself, but for your family. But it's still a personal choice. And if you want to cut, there's many ways to simplify a funeral. You can have a graveside service, which is sufficient and honored by God, and it protects the family and gives them an acceptance of the fact that you have gone on to the Father. But if you literally do not wish to have one, then there is nothing in God's Word that says you should. Rebecca from Oklahoma. My dad recently passed away, and I'm wondering where he is right now. Is he in paradise? Is he with the Lord? Thank you. I would like to know. I miss him. Well, naturally you do. To be absent from this body is present with the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. You go instantly to the Father. And you're going to be on one side of paradise or the other. And as much as you loved him, he must have been a good father. So I could probably say with pretty well assurance, he was on the good side. David from Texas. What book and chapter tells me where God named Cyrus? Thank you. Well, you'll find it in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 4. But, you know, the miracle of this is that God named Cyrus about, let my computer go here, about 135 years before he was even born. And, yes, he was not an Israelite. He was a king of Persia. But you'll find the fact that God chose him and surnamed him. Gave him a surname, and he had another name, but this was his surname. You'll find it in Isaiah 45:4. Linda from Ohio, pastor and others who help with the teaching, thank you. I just heard you say, Pastor A. Murray, that you don't agree with receiving body parts such as heart and lung, and I wish you would explain why my ex-husband and my only son and only daughters has diabetes. I do pray that or believe in the. Well, you misunderstood. And I see you even quote me as saying that to be able to give someone an eye and have eyesight is a beautiful thing. I said my own personal choice. If I had to have lungs and a heart, the whole smash, I would just as soon go on home, okay? That's my personal choice. But there's no sin in receiving a heart from a person or even lungs from a person. You must listen closely. And certainly in this case with diabetes, usually it would be a kidney sooner or later. That's a wonderful gift to give people life. All I was stating was my own personal choice, all right? And it has nothing to do with the law or anything else. Michelle from New York. My question is it wrong to be just a mom and a housewife, or should I have a real job? Do you know what? Being a mom and a housewife is a fantastic job. It's a huge job. When you take care of the whole family and take care of them, you put in a lot of hours. It's a job that is fantastic. Moms are just real special. They always have been, always will be. Anna from Illinois. Pastor, if I pass and go to heaven, can I get to go into my garden and plant my seeds and stuff? Because that's what I love to do the most. I'm 81 years old. And I love to hear it over the air. My life has changed so much. I love you and your son and the staff. Well, thank you, Anna. We love you in return. You know, when the North Pole goes back where it's supposed to be and we get rid of the jet stream, the terraforma, the firmament goes back where it is, you cannot imagine how fertile and how precious. In our travels of documentaries, I have found palm trees on the top of a mountain in Arizona that's a desert. Beautiful palm trees, lush green foliage. Of course, they were petrified from years gone by. But how precious and perfect this earth is when God puts his cloak back over it and rejuvenates it back where it was. And you are going to have a heyday planning. Thomas from Michigan. Pastor, where can I find the description of the word man? Number 120, 376, 2145. Which one would it be? Eth Ha'adam. You see, your Eth Ha'adam is three words. It's not... You're not going to find it all in one word. It's three words. And 120 would be correct. But you have to put the article to it. That's a different word. Eth-ha. E-T-H-H-A in the Hebrew tongue. Two different words. Sarah from South Carolina. Where can we find Mary's genealogy? You will find Mary's genealogy in Luke chapter 3. You will not find it in Matthew chapter 1. It will tell you that Matthew chapter 1 is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, but it's not Christ's genealogy, it's Joseph's. It's not Mary's, it's Joseph's. Joseph was not the father of Jesus. So the bloodline given in Matthew 1 is not the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one change that is very different, and you find that in Luke chapter 3. You find out many things in Luke. In Luke chapter 1, you find out that Elizabeth was a daughter of Aaron, meaning she was of the Levitical priesthood, married to a priest. And when Mary conceived, she ran to her cousin, Elizabeth. Well, now wait just a minute. If she's a cousin and she's a Levite, what's going on here? It's really very simple. Mary's mother was a Levite. Mary's father was Halo of the tribe of Judah. Therefore, God, after the order of Melchizedek, wells together the priest line and the king line into one being, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a beautiful thing when you can see that. Stephanie from Kentucky. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 14, when those angels are released from the Euphrates, does that mean we are in the sixth trump? We're approaching it. I mean, we're knocking on the door. We are so close to it. But there are many things that must happen within that sixth trump as it solidifies. Keep tuned. Larry from, don't know where he's from. If you can get to heaven, if you can get to heaven upon death, why would you not go to hell at the same time? Well, it's really simple, Larry. You instantly go to heaven for what purpose? To be judged. Well, now let me think for a moment. When is the great white throne judgment? Well, it doesn't happen until after the millennium, 1,000 years. So, well, what's the great white throne judgment? That's what determines whether you go to heaven or hell. Okay. So you got a whole lot that takes place within there. And there is nobody that will not wait until the great white throne judgment. You see, God's still on the throne, and he doesn't just miserably throw somebody around. That let's say that a person was handicapped. They did not have the ability to put truth together, and they sinned in a not perfect body. Do you think God would send them to hell? Or do you think he would bring them, resurrect them in a spiritual body where they had all their knowledge and teach them and give them that opportunity? That's what the millennium is about. That's a way to judgment. Helen from Georgia. Pastor, you teach of different world ages. Does this mean that we all have been here before? Please explain. I do not understand. Well, it's real simple. Of course there was a first earth age. Satan drew a third of God's children away, and rather than kill his children, he destroyed the earth age and brought us into this one. Have you never read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4? What does it say there? I chose you before the foundations of this earth age. Meaning from the first. God chooses his elect from the first earth age. Why? Because when Satan rebelled there, they stood against him. So when he chooses his election, he knows he's got some people that have a little salt to them. And they will stand against the false one. And so it is. Jeremiah chapter 1, how do you explain that if you don't understand the three earth ages? God says to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And while you were in your mother's womb, I've chose you as a prophet. So you see, foreknowledge is a wonderful thing, preordained, as it is written in the 8th chapter of Romans. But your three earth ages are made very clear by one of the greatest apostles of them all is Peter, that old fisherman. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he gives you all three heaven ages and all three earth ages. The word, to help you a little bit, the word world, as it is used in that chapter, is eon. It means times, ages. Donna from Pennsylvania, when you repent for your sins, do you have to say you're sorry for each and every one that you have committed, or can you say further, Father, forgive me for all my sins in Jesus' name? All your sins in Jesus' name is sufficient if you're sincere. Now, if you have an unction or an urge or a commitment that there's one specific one you should repent for, do it then. But basically saying all your sins is sufficient because you become a new creature. And if you sin again, you repent again. Denise from, that does not give you a license to sin, but God loves his children and he knows we're not perfect. Denise from Canada. I heard Pastor Dennis say that Satan never had a material body and will never have one. How are we going to witness against him? Are we supposed to see his face to face? Is he going to have a spiritual or flesh body when he is thrown to him to the earth? He already has a spiritual body. He has the body he has there, but he'll never have a flesh body. I'll say that one more time. Satan will never have a flesh body because he will never be born to woman. But he will be cast from heaven. And don't worry, he has a body that is supernatural. And he's the biggest liar of all times. And we will have a chance to witness against him. You might say, how did the fallen angels impregnate the daughters of Adam? Because they have their spiritual bodies, which are, they're not flesh, but we're made in a perfect copy. So they were able to impregnate. Hobart from Tennessee. God bless you and your staff and your wonderful program. I must confess that I have become addicted to your program. If all churches followed your format, I believe there would be a lot more people in church. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Question, will the people who have been deceived by the false teachers and ignorant preachers be able to be saved when Jesus comes? Christ will give everyone an opportunity to know the full truth. That's what the millennium is about. And that's why it's so wonderful that we have a loving God. God doesn't wake up every morning and say, I wonder who I can zap today. He's just the opposite of that. How can we save someone today? That's why the word is written. That's why the word is shared, is to bring salvation to whomsoever will. Joseph from Oregon, when the two witnesses come back to earth, what type of body will they be in? If they are in flesh, then Satan can kill them. But if they are, being flesh, cannot be in heaven. I am confused. Well, have you ever heard of Enoch? I'm sorry, have you ever heard of Elijah? Who showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration? Their bodies were transfigured. You know, well, a lot of people say, well, Moses died. Well, who buried him? Now, think long and hard and pray on that long. How could Moses show back up at the Mount of Transfiguration if he died? But you, to take part as one of the two witnesses, you have to know he didn't. And that's why he was chosen, why Moses is the law and Elijah the prophets. That's why it's so very important. And they never died. It is even written, and I know a lot of people really come down on me saying, it says very clearly in the last chapter of Deuteronomy, Moses died. And God would let no one bury him. He took him himself. And as it's written in the book of Jude, even Satan argues with God for the bones of Moses. Well, why can't he find the bones of Moses? Because Moses is still alive. That's why. So those two will fill the bill. They'll get it done. Elizabeth from California. Pastor, is it okay for me to send my grandchildren a Bible and a concordance so I can do Bible study with them? Their daddy is incarcerated. Their daddy said that he wanted to study the Bible. Please tell me any scripture that may help. My other son is not in jail, but he's doing drugs. Would it be okay if I brought him up? Well, hon, you can buy. Of course you want to set a good example for them. And if your son, the one even incarcerated, wants them to study the Bible, all the more reason. God would never penalize you for sharing his word. You get it done. That's all right. Kelly from Kentucky, will you people Will you please reveal who you believe are the two witnesses spoken of in Revelation? And thank you for your comment. Well, I just answered that, did I not? I think it's Moses and Elijah. And I think that's what God meant when he had them appear on the Mount of Transfiguration. I think that's kind of a cut and dried thing. They are able to perform many miracles, and they come before the sixth trump, or right at the beginning of the sixth trump. And they will be here longer than Satan will be, okay? By a very few days. And quite frankly, for the student, it's the difference between solar and lunar in days. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying the letter that our Father has sent to us. He expects you to receive that letter. It's from Him because He loves you. So if you really want to be blessed, return that love to Him. Let Him know today that you love Him, and He will bless you. It makes His day. And when you make God's day, boy, is He going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. Again, He will always bless you. Most important, though, listen to me good. You stay in His Word every day. And His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word.